It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 394 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. As always, thanks so much for listening. This week I talk with Bill Colombe, the driving force behind a book called Kinetic. And if you've been to any conventions recently, you very likely ran into him and discovered his comic for yourself. I saw him at AwesomeCon, and he was having a sale there, so I got all 8 issues of Kinetic, which is a unique take on the superhero genre. It's funny to mention, but my twin brother was also there, and he also picked up the books. So there's something really appealing about Kinetic that those of us who are superhero fans will really enjoy. We talk about how he put the team together, about how Kinetic came to be, and what we might expect from him in the near future. He's got a lot of interesting things to say about making comics, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he shares with us this episode. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. I have in front of me 8 issues of Kinetic from Y Comics, and I'm talking with Bill Colombe, the creator, writer of this series. So, Kinetic, I saw you for the first time at AwesomeCon, and I know you do a lot of conventions, because as I was looking at your website, which is ycomics.net, and that's the letter Y, ycomics, yep. All one word, .net, you do a lot of conventions, and I saw you at AwesomeCon. So, doing cons, that's kind of a thing for you.
Yes, it is. Yeah, AwesomeCon was actually my first, it was my first con that I went and did out in the East Coast. Mm. Went back for Wizard World Philadelphia. Mm. Yeah, I just have a blast doing all these shows. That's a great way to get out there and, get people to see your stuff.
As I was looking at your website, wow, you go to a lot of conventions. As I was looking at, see, you've been to some places I wish I could have gone this year, including, I was at Fan Expo Dallas where you were. We didn't get to Planet Comic Con this year. We didn't get to C2E2 this year. I didn't get to Emerald City. Lucky you got to go all those places. Boy, I'm envious, because those are places I hope we get to go to next year. So,
yeah, and one thing that's nice this year is one of my New Year's resolutions. I wanted to take more time and actually see the places that I'm going to. Because last year I did some shows, but it was mostly going in, doing the show, and then leaving.
Oh.
And this year, what I'm trying to do is I'll take like an extra day or an extra half day where I can, just to see the cities that I'm going. Because I was going to a lot of places, but not seeing much.
Yeah. That's no good.
Yeah.
You want to go and be at places, where you can actually get away. It's like in D.C., there's all kinds of historical stuff going on in that area. So when I used to live in the Washington, D.C. area. That's why I talk about that, because we used to always on the weekends go down to like the museums and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's a good place to go. So while we're talking about conventions, why don't we get the upcoming conventions out of the way? We're recording this a little earlier before this post, but why don't you go ahead and tell us what conventions you have planned for the next couple months?
Okay, next weekend I have Portland IndieCon. That's going to be a small show in Portland. It's actually, all it's going to be is just independent authors and independent comic artists.
Mm-hmm.
And then, actually, I have a couple weeks off after that.
Ooh, lucky you.
Unfortunately, I was waitlisted for the Rally and Florida Supercons, and then I didn't get into San Diego, unfortunately.
Oh, right.
Then it ramps up again with Wizard World Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. That's the last weekend of August.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just right back to it. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's Rose City Comic Con in mm-hmm. Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a couple Wizard shows in there. Madison, mm-hmm. Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
I signed on to do a ton of Wizard shows this year. So.
Oh, good for you. We did a couple of them a few years ago. And, of course, I help out with Stabby Bunny. And we mm-hmm. were at Wizard World Philly a couple of years ago, and we did really well. The next year, not so good. And so we haven't done a lot of Wizard Worlds for a while, but, you know, I enjoyed them. I thought they were great things. It was just on the money-making thing, we just didn't do all that well
after
the first one. So if you can do that, super. I mean, more power to you to be able to do those things.
Yep.
Do you prefer the Wizard Worlds to, like, other cons?
Every show has its positives and its negatives.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about Wizard shows is there's not a lot of individual comic vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have somebody, you know, like yourself, when you're coming in looking for independent comics,
mm-hmm.
it's usually just, hey, okay, done, sold.
Interesting. Because we went to the Chicago one once and a couple of others, and it was just, they always seem to lay out things so that the stars and stuff are at the middle of the floor and people go straight from the doors right to where the stars are. The one time we did really well, they had the stars way off to the right and we were on the way to the stars. So people would pass us on the way in, but then they would stop on the way back out, and that's when we did really well. But at the next year, we were sitting we were off to the side, and the stars were in the middle, and we hardly saw anybody. So we said, well, probably something we won't do this next time. But I'm glad you get to do all these different ones, because cons are great fun. I mean, if you don't necessarily make a lot of money, you do make great contacts.
Oh, yeah. They are real fun, just getting out there, meeting new people, seeing new cities. And, at the end of the day, you know, it's funny because – ever since I came out with about Kinetic issue 5 or 6, that's when I started noticing I wasn't losing money regularly going to these shows. But since then...
Well, it's probably picked up some after you've done those, so that's a good thing about that. Like I said, I saw you at Awesome Con, and you were having a sale there, which you could get all 8 comics for a certain good price, and so I picked them up there. I had seen your stuff at cons before, but the stars didn't align for me to have enough money to be able to buy a lot of stuff. And I do at cons buy a lot of indie comics, to be honest with you. And so I'm always, you know, I was always happy to pick up stuff. I read your books when I got back home to Florida. And I have to say, I enjoyed the story quite a lot. It's really a good story. You know, people have said with superheroes, there's nothing new under the sun with them. But you take a very different perspective on it. And I liked it because I hadn't read that before.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you so much for the praise. It's so much better than when I hear back from someone who's purchased it and said, oh, you know, I bought it and I didn't like it. Or, you know, I bought it and it stinks.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's always nice to get feedback. And especially now that I'm going into kind of their shows now where this is going to be, you know, my second or third year now going back to them and seeing customers who came through, you know, last year who are coming back this year. Is just really, really a blast.
Yeah, they're looking for you. That's it. You know you're doing well when people say, oh, my gosh, I saw you were going to be here, so I knew I had to come back and get what I didn't have already, which is great stuff. So, yeah, luckily I got them. I got the 8 issues. And let's talk about the book, but I got this one question right on the front of my mind. I may as well get it over with. You've got the 8 issues and stuff. Are you ever going to collect them, or are you going to continue to sell the individual issues?
Yes, right now we just got back issue 8. Right now I'm kind of in sales mode where I'm going around just doing the individual issues.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to put them together in a trade. The trades are a lot more expensive to print up than I originally anticipated.
Mm.
And when you kind of get into the convention circuit, it's funny because, you know, you go to a convention, you make a little money, you put that in the bank. Then you go to another one, you make a little money, put that in the bank. And so then it feels like, you know, you dig yourself down and then you're slowly digging your way back up. But then you got to pay for the convention fees again. So, so then kind of it goes up, then it goes down a little, then it goes up a bit, then it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, hopefully later this year we'll have a trade ready to go.
Well, that'd be fine. It'd be a little less for you to carry around. I imagine you got keeping all the individual issues. When somebody comes and says, I need issue 5, you know, you've got them, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people, once they get the trade, they stop carrying the individual issues. So
I was a bit overambitious with how well I thought that Kinetic would take off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Kinetic has done great sales-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, when I started, I thought it would be the next overnight sensation, you know, the next Walking Dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, every overnight success takes years to come into being and stuff. So it's very rare when those kind of things really take off and happen. But the important thing is you've got a fan base out there now, and they're supporting you. You know, you've gone around the whole country, you know, basically, and gone around. Talk about Kinetic. Let's get to what the story is all about. How would you describe Kinetic to somebody who may not have heard of it before?
Absolutely. I describe Kinetic very, very simply. It's a superhero turf war. Mm-hmm. The main character, Johnny, is developing superpowers, mm-hmm. But there's just one problem. Mm-hmm. The city he's in already has a hero. Mm-hmm. That hero is kind of a jerk. He doesn't really care. Mm-hmm. So Johnny thinks he can do a better job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the eight issues are good. There's a story that builds from issue to issue, which I really liked. You know, we get to meet who Johnny is and the cast around him for a while. And then the next issue, we build on that. And there's other characters that get involved in it. Why don't you talk about the other characters? Well, first of all, the Kinetic is the name of the hero, the main character in the comics.
Yes, and Kinetic is Johnny.
Oh, yes, Johnny, that's right. So he's in there, and of course, I love the way that he gets his name. Is from, he's listening to, a teacher one time, talks about a certain kind of energy, and that's where Johnny pulls the name from and becomes Kinetic, which I liked.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you so much. That's funny because this all originally started because I thought Kinetic would be a cool name for a superhero. Mm-hmm. And then in the process of writing it and writing the first volume, I said, we have to figure out a reason why he calls himself Kinetic.
So that's good. And so now, talk about Johnny. I mean, you've talked about the fact that he feels he can do a better job than the existing superhero. But who else is he? I mean, if we want to get to know Johnny, what else could you tell us about him?
Yeah, so Johnny is in his early 20s. He's working at his family-run kind of upholstery shop slash like automotive upholstery shop. Mm-hmm. It's run well, and I didn't read you too much, but it's run by his mom and dad own it, mm-hmm. and it's run by his bigger brother, mm-hmm. Jimmy. Mm-hmm. So in volume one, he gets to kind of meet the cast of characters, mm-hmm. That include all his coworkers, all his employees, mm-hmm. and Johnny rides a motorcycle, but is not very good at it, as you learn very early on. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's pretty good. Now, one of the things too I like about Johnny is that we don't learn, or he doesn't even learn about his powers all at once. Things slowly unfold for him, which I like, because usually everybody knows right away what everybody can do. It's nice to see somebody who actually has to spend some time figuring out what his powers are.
Yeah, and that's one thing too, that's because so many superhero stories, whether it's, you know, superhero TV shows or superhero comics, so many of them have, okay, this is what the character can do. Here's how the character got his costume. Mm-hmm. And I figured, hey, the writer's smart enough to put two and two together. How many suit up sequences have we seen where, you know, the main character is trying on his suit for the first time, mm-hmm. or he's trying on a couple different variations of it before finally settling on, you know, the iconic suit. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know, we'll dive into it. Mm-hmm. Go from there.
Now there's a character that's involved with Johnny or who impacts Johnny, who's known as the Gentleman Killer. Why don't you talk about that character? Well, you can tell without spoiling the story.
So, Gentleman Killer, he's kind of goes around at night, stalking, you know, various women of the night. Mm-hmm. Originally, when I thought about it, I was like, oh, is that misogynistic, you know? And I said, well, because that's what, you know, some actual killers, you know, Ted Bundy, those likes, mm-hmm. they prey on the weak, and they prey on that. Mm-hmm. He ends up very early on in the story kind of becoming the catalyst for it. Mm-hmm. He ends up hurting Johnny's brother, Jimmy, mm-hmm. Ends up hurting him. And Jimmy, as you read, he's a lot more gung-ho, a lot more, you know, hey, I see something, I'm going to act on it immediately. Whereas Johnny's a little bit more reserved, a little bit more of a worrywart. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Jimmy just busts in, says, hey, we're taking you out. And then he ends up getting hurt for it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of becomes the catalyst for giving Johnny something he wants to do. He wants to bring this guy in, mm-hmm. bring this guy to justice.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what he's up to. There's a really interesting part when Johnny kind of feels like he's accomplished his mission, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, you know, what's he going to do? You know, it's Jeff Johns in Batman Earth 1, I think it was. He had a thing where he was really only going to go after the killer of his parents. And once he got that done, he figured he was done with that in there. And I don't want to say it's very similar to that, but he has to soul search as well when a certain point is reached in his career. I like that kind of stuff, because normally if they just become a superhero and they want to live being a superhero for the rest of their lives, it's interesting somebody who thinks that they've got a mission, and when the mission's over, they're pretty much finished with it.
Yeah, what's what causes someone to take that big next step, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I don't know, when I was writing it, I had written it all almost at once. I think we talked about this at the convention. Mm-hmm. You know, I have issue 8 out now. Mm-hmm. Before I started doing the art, I wanted to say I had issues 5 or 6 totally written.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew where the story arc was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm just, you know, I tried to write something that I would want to read. And mm-hmm. I think that's all I can ask of myself as a writer.
Well, that's very good. Now, there's another character. Well, there's 2 other characters I feel we got to touch about.
Yeah.
And that is, well, let's talk about Red Reaper first.
Ah, the Red Reaper.
Mm-hmm. Who is he?
I had such a blast writing the Red Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Red Reaper is a, well, when it starts, it's kind of a underground superhero. Mm-hmm. Okay, because everybody knows about the Ascender,
mm-hmm.
The city's resident superhero.
Mm-hmm.
But not many people know about the Reaper. I think it pops up that there was just a thing saying, hey, there's this guy going around. We actually caught him on camera, but we don't know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a man, he's been, without giving away too much, kind of meets Johnny, takes him under his wing, but he has his own personal vendetta that he's trying to solve.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool. It's interesting because, like, on cover of issue 3, for example, it's almost a Batman and Robin-ish kind of look. You know, there's Red Reaper with this. You got the scythe carrying on, and there's Johnny is almost in the background.
Yeah, we actually did that as a homage to Dark Knight Returns and specifically Batman Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
If you go look up the cover for Batman Spawn, mm-hmm. it was straight homage to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. I always thought it was just cool seeing them leaping through the air.
Now, Red Reaper, of course, he's got his own thing that he's trying to do. And what's really interesting is when Johnny sees him, let's just say he doesn't necessarily approach this this whole crime-fighting thing the way that Johnny would.
Mm-hmm.
And when he sees something that he doesn't necessarily feel should happen, it sets the two of them against each other a little. And I you know, that's kind of interesting because you rarely see, although these days you see more than you used to, you see Robin go against Batman very rarely. But now we get to see these two actually, you know, come together and say, holy smoke, you know, and one guy says, you got to stop this. And the other one says, no, I said, this is what I'm here for. And it's really interesting seeing the variations among the superheroes, particularly the non-powered ones like these guys. They don't necessarily have, you know, Superman-level powers and stuff, so they have to be very careful. It's a really interesting discussion, really interesting to see the two of them go into conflict with each other after they've spent so much time working together.
Yeah, no, and it was just, originally it was going to be a prequel or a spinoff or something like that. And when I originally spoke to my editor, Robert Finch, and I originally Kinetic was written as 3 stories, and it was basically would be Kinetic 1, Kinetic probably about 5 or 6, mm-hmm. and then Kinetic 8. Mm-hmm. And my editor said basically, he's like, hey, Bill, he's like, this is going way too fast. You need to build up the world a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny at the time, I said, oh, well, you know, it's easy for you to say you're not putting up the money for this, but you know, then I sat down and actually learned a lot more about writing and a little bit more about plot development and all that throughout as I was writing this. And I realized, I said, yeah, you know, the story does move too fast. It went from basically issue 1 starting up to issue 2. He catches the gentleman killer to issue 8. He's doing it all. He's going everything.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but you know, is this your first book? I mean, we should approach it from that way. Is this your first comic?
Yes, this is my first published work.
Okay. So it's
kind of, yeah, I wrote an online miniseries or a miniseries for an online publisher that, as of now, I don't think they've done anything with. Mm-hmm. But before that, I'd written comic scripts, but never gotten it as far as I got Kinetic.
Okay, which is good. Now, I guess we should talk about, you mentioned, well, let me get that taken care of, too. I want to talk about the Ascender, who you mentioned. That was the other one I felt we should talk about. That's the person that Johnny kind of feels isn't doing the right job or doing the job as well as he should.
Yes.
And why is that?
The Ascender, well, as you read it, he's kind of, there's a dichotomy in the city that they're in,
mm-hmm.
where basically it's north side, south side.
Mm-hmm.
The north side is the more affluent area. The south side is a little more rundown.
Mm-hmm.
And so it brings up a little, what is it, like social commentary.
Mm-hmm.
The Ascender, he's not necessarily patrolling that south side. It's mm-hmm. run down. They don't have a hero down there.
Mm-hmm.
it kind of comes up like there's a motif through it, or a arc words, you know, the South Side needs a hero. The South mm-hmm. Side needs a hero. Mm-hmm. And Johnny thinks that, hey, you know, I could do that, because if the Ascender's not going to, you know, mm-hmm. why shouldn't I?
Now, talk about the Ascender. You know, what kind of a hero is he? I mean, what are the things that he uses to fight crime?
Yes, the Ascender is a, you know, we did everything when we were developing it to say, mm-hmm. hey, it's not Iron Man. But at the end of the day, it's a guy in a suit of metal mm-hmm. flying around. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's like, it's, you know, kind of Iron Man. But Iron Man without the humanity, mm-hmm. without the just basically saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. My word is law. It's my way or the highway.
Mm-hmm. Well, he takes direction from the police, though, doesn't he?
Yes, he's working with the police department. Hopefully when we get to Volume 2, we'll flesh that out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. We left it with, it's kind of an open secret that everyone feels the Ascender is, you know, the resident. It's only name checked, but Mark Maple, who's kind of a big wig in the city.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I wanted to leave that open and ambiguous by saying that, oh, maybe he's a robot that he uses. Maybe he's... You know, maybe he is him.
Well, I thought he has human eyes. I mean, there's one part when we looked through the eye slots, and I thought he looked like he had human eyes. Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean he's not a robot. They could be using human eyes for that. But, you know, he is a little cold-hearted in how he deals with stuff. But, you know, sometimes the city needs a cold-hearted person
And hopefully we'll be able to tackle that a little bit more in Volume 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, other characters, there are females, of course, involved, the women involved. Can you talk a little bit about some of the female characters?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's the basic main cast is Michelle. Michelle kind of becomes, you know, the what's the trope? You know, the guy in the chair, mm-hmm. the helping out Johnny from the sideline, but also a little bit of a love interest for Johnny. Mm-hmm. And then there is Lauren. Lauren's also a coworker of Johnny's. Mm-hmm. Lauren actually gets hired on in issue 2, mm-hmm. and Lauren is kind of a, you know, a tough as nails, real brash, arrogant, you know, kind of call it as it is woman, mm-hmm. you know, and initially she doesn't really like Johnny. She mm-hmm. kind of sees Johnny as kind of a, you know, a wimp. And,
mm-hmm. Well, it's a secret identity, of course.
You know,
when people do those kinds of things so they can get do other things. Right. Well, one of the great things I think about this first 8 issues is it comes to a really interesting resolution in issue 8. You know, things move. It's not that things stay the same within the other issues. They shift forward. Things start to, but when we get to issue 8, there are a lot of really interesting mm-hmm. resolutions mm-hmm. to the plot lines that I really liked. I'm not going to say anything about them. I don't want to spoil any of that.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to spoiler tag this if we keep going too far.
No. I don't want to spoil that stuff. I like to be teased, but I don't necessarily want to be spoiled. But several of the things we've talked about come to a resolution in the eighth issue, which I think is really cool. Because I got to be honest with you, with these days with comics, you know, I mean, the X-Men go on. I mean, you could read 20, 30 years and never come to any kind of a resolution. But your books in issue 8, we actually get something of a satisfying place to stop for the moment, should I say.
Yeah, and that's what you needed to do. Originally, it was just going to be a mini series, and then I said, well, I've had a lot of feedback on it saying it was really positive. Mm-hmm. It's funny, I kickstarted a new series in March, mm-hmm. and that went exceedingly horrible. Mm-hmm. it was very bad, but mm-hmm. I got a lot of feedback from it that said, hey, we're not interested in this new series. There was a lot of people who emailed me off my mailing list who said, we're not interested in the new series. Mm-hmm. But when you do more kinetic, let us know.
Hmm.
And that kind of made me say, hey, maybe I have something here.
Mm-hmm. That's good, because it's interesting you bring that up, because, you know, I work with Richard Rivera, and he did Stabby Bunny for a while. Then he had these other ideas for comics, and we were going to conventions and trying to sell those. But the thing he always got asked about is, where's Stabity Bunny? When's more Stabity Bunny coming out? And one day he finally sat there and said, you know, I need to go back and do more Stabity Bunny, he goes. Because people, that's the one everybody's asking about. The other ones are great, but that's the one that people are paying attention to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of what you are with Kinetic. You're finding that same thing, is that people, when they find something they like, they stick to it. Although I'm kind of, well, why don't you talk a little bit about this other series for a second, and we'll see what the story was with that. What was it called, and what was it about?
Oh, yeah. This other series was called Time Nomad. Mm-hmm. Time Nomad was going to be a like a lighthearted time travel adventure series. Mm-hmm. Along the same veins of Back to the Future, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. You know, very lighthearted, very fun. Mm-hmm. What was it going to be? A recent high school graduate and his robot assistant from the future use their time machine to have the best summer vacation ever. And that was kind of the elevator pitch for it.
Okay. And what, was it going to be a single issue, miniseries? How are we going to do it?
It was probably going to be a miniseries. Mm-hmm. We set it up with, I wanted to say 5 issues, but we were just, when we did the crowdfunding, it was just going to be for issue 1.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. That sounds like fun to me. But I have to tell you, you know as well as I do that superheroes are the thing in comics right now.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it used to be, I mean, I remember back in the days in the 50s or the 60s, and you had, you know, romance comics, and you had westerns, and you had everything in the world going on. And out of all that stuff came superheroes, and it was pretty much the end of all the other stuff when that happened. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but part of me would really like to see that story. It sounds like an interesting but I'm a big variety guy. You got to understand. I love my Long Johns just as much as I can, but I want to see other kinds of stories. I enjoy other things.
Yeah, no, I thought it was going to be a really fun story, and right now it's just kind of it's on the back burner for a little bit. I might I'm looking at doing releasing it digitally, or maybe doing a real small, you know, print run, because the first book is basically done.
Oh, wow.
And, so I'm like, okay, well, I can have it and not show it to anybody, or I can actually release it out there and, you know, have somebody see it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. What about Comixology or something like that? Was that something you were thinking of?
Yes. Just saying it through Comixology or
drive-through comics or all those kinds of things.
Drive-through comics, Comic Central.
Mm-hmm. All those kinds of things. See, I always like Comixology, and I've said this a million times, is the fact that Comixology is a place where your book gets the same amount of shelf space as Action Comics. You know, you're out there. And the thing is, if I have extra money, sometimes I'll go through those books that are out that week and see if anything out there appeals to me. Sure. You know, download it, you know, kind of stuff. Because I used to be a big paper guy, but just as I am with music and stuff, I had stacks and stacks of CDs. But I can't keep that many CDs anymore. But I can store volumes of them on my hard drive. So I don't necessarily buy CDs anymore. I download the digital music. And it's starting to get that way with comic books. There's certain ones I really want to be able to have good paper copies of. But there's other ones I just want to read and enjoy. And so I'll buy the digital version.
And I'm doing the same way now, too. I have so many comics on my shelf. And then in my closet, I've got 6 or 7 long boxes, and it's getting to the point where they're just about full. Well, I really don't want to get another one, so what do I do? But yeah, I've been reading a lot more stuff digitally. Another great service, and I'm not paid for these guys or anything, but for your viewers, Hoopla. If you have a library card, Hoopla goes through your library and allows you to download a certain amount of books per month just to read them. But I've been doing a ton of reading off that.
I'll have to check that out, because, you know, the problem I have with Comixology is you do have to pay for it all the time.
Yep.
Now, the price goes down pretty dramatically after a month or two.
Yeah.
You know, if it's $3.99, then 2 or 3 months later, it's $99 or $1.99 for the same book. But the thing of it is though, you know, you can buy the Marvel Unlimiteds and all these other Unlimiteds and stuff like that, but I never have enough that my tastes are all over the place, and so I don't necessarily want to only buy Marvel stuff. I want to read, like, Kinetic. I want to read other stuff that I haven't read before.
There's so much to see and read, and, I mean, now with entertainment, I mean, there's so much that you can choose to watch or choose to read.
That's great stuff. I enjoyed the story tremendously. I love character stories where people blossom and develop and change some. You know, you start in one place, but you don't end up at the same place. This is a problem I have with Batman books, even though Batman's my guy. My big problem with Batman is that he has to end up at the same place so somebody else can start to write him again, bring him to the same place. So I'm always bothered by that. But see, with yours, you can move your characters forward and make them go forward and do other things, which I really like.
Yeah, everything seems to come to a status quo.
Yeah.
Especially those series that you have, you know, 80 years of continuity.
Yeah. that the best thing is you got to figure something new that you haven't seen in 80 years. People who might go back and read all 80 years of comics want something new, and you kind of have to go come and figure something else out.
Yeah,
so that's good stuff. So I was reading at the end of Kinetic number 8, and it says Kinetic will be back. How will we be doing along those lines? Can you tell us what we might expect from Kinetic in the future?
I am really excited. So basically, issues 1 through 8 are going to be, that's volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm really excited for what's coming up for volume 2.
Okay.
We're going to have, just a lot of cool stuff. What can I say without spoiling it?
Well, tease us if you can. Just give us some hints, but that without giving.
We're going to see a lot about Johnny and the other characters coming into their own.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see maybe a character that we know and love maybe taking up a mask of their own.
Mm. Okay.
I was just sitting down. I was doing a plot line for it maybe last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because I was kind of caught on what to do with one of the plot threads.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, what exactly? And I found the answer. And I'm like, man, it'll blow your mind. It's going to be something that I think a lot of readers won't expect from Kinetic.
Mm. I love to be surprised.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love to be surprised too, because sometimes as a writer, I don't even know what's going on.
Well, that's good though. If you're surprised, then we're likely to be surprised too.
But no, everything, like I worked out the idea and I said, it works for everyone. Cause all the characters, nobody does any out of character moment. It solves an issue for volume 2. So I was like, all right, let's go. Yeah, that's good.
Well, that's good, Bill. You make me look forward to it. Do you have any idea when we might start to see some of those come out?
Right now, I'm in, like I told you, I'm kind of in sales mode.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm basically just selling down the stock I have. Hopefully, mm-hmm. it's going to be about fall to early winter.
Okay.
And then what I'm going to do, I already hired on the... Oh, you know what I'll do for you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to shoot you over. I just hired on I hired on the original artist, Rafael Crestani, to do some concepts art
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have something that I can send over to you
mm-hmm.
That you can post up on your site.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Brand new, never-before-seen artwork. I just got the file today.
Oh, boy. Well, I have to tell you, too, the artwork was something, and we didn't touch on it very much yet, but I really enjoyed the artwork. I thought the artwork was pretty spectacular. I really liked it.
Oh, thank you so much. My artist, Rafael Crestani, and cover artist, Jason Metcalf,
mm-hmm.
they deserve all the praise for their wonderful line art, and then the colorist as well,
mm-hmm.
Omi Remolante for the interiors,
mm-hmm.
and then the cover colorist, Ivan Nunez, and for issues 2, 3, and 4, Jeremy Caldwell.
Mm-hmm.
All to bring their A game.
Mm.
I would be nothing without these, without all of those people backing me, and also my letterer Lucas Catani.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because you know I also helping with an indie comic. I can relate to what you're saying because the colorist that we have we just adore, and I noticed how great the colors were in the comics because you know you can have the best art in the world, but if you have a mediocre colorist, it just won't pop off the page. But yours do. I mean, I really enjoy the color. Same for the letterer too, because you know until you actually see the letters on the page, it's not really a comic book.
Yep. When I first got the final files for Walls Kinetic 1 and also Time Nomad as well,
mm-hmm.
and when I first got the final art files, I looked mm-hmm. at it and I wasn't that excited. I said, oh, this is okay. I mean, it's nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
But then getting it back from Lucas with adding in all the dialogue, adding in the letters, and I said, all right, I'm like, this is a comic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't notice it. You will because you deal with this more intimately than a lot of readers.
Mm-hmm.
But your average reader isn't going to look at a book and say, you know, notice these things. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely guarantee they will notice
mm-hmm.
if you have a bad letterer,
mm-hmm.
if you have a bad art, if you have a bad artist, if you have a bad colorist,
mm-hmm.
it'll be the first thing they notice to say, oh, this is off.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I did want to mention, I thought the cover for issue number 7 was particularly, when it comes to color and mm-hmm. things like that, I really thought number 7 was particularly outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
I really love that. It's him with his fists going in, the power yep. flooding off of his fists kind of stuff.
Yep, that and me and Jason Metcalf both love issue 8 as well.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
But both of those, I think, were just, I mean, I love them all, but they were just amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to pick out of your children which one you like the best.
It is. It's funny. I've been framing them. I have them on my wall, and I'm just kind of looking at my wall right now. I was like, hey, I did this.
Isn't that cool? Because I'll tell you a really quick story. He was looking for an artist for the story, and he asked this one guy to do a picture of one of the bad guys from the first issue. Mm. And we saw very standard stuff from a lot of people, and it just, you know, he was kind of a big guy, nothing stood out very much. But then the all of a sudden we got this one, and I looked at it and I went, whoa, I said, that is a, look at that, that's a character for you, look at that. He ended up being the artist, of course, because he has this ability to blend a little bit of cartoonish stuff with very serious storytelling. And I just looked at it and it just popped. I said, wow, I said, I really like that. And he's been doing the series. So it's just, you know, well, that gets me to ask you, how'd you find these good folks to do for you?
Mostly online. Mm-hmm. When I first started out, I went to an online forum. That's where I found Raphael Cristani. I hired him and about four other artists to do just some concept art for me. Mm-hmm. And it came down to two artists. And it's funny because Raphael is from Brazil. Mm-hmm. My other finalist, he was from Brazil as well. Hmm. And it was funny. They were both out at Ed Benes Studio mm-hmm. down there. Mm-hmm. They both had very similar styles, so much so that I almost thought that it was the same person with two different names. And eventually hired on Raphael just to do it. Mm-hmm. And then it's funny because when the art was finished, but we needed the colorist, I put an ad up saying on digital webbing, mm-hmm. saying, hey, I'm looking for a colorist. And I received about 120 submissions.
Wow.
Saying, here's my portfolio, check it over. Mm-hmm. And I looked over all of those portfolios.
Wow.
Not one of them was bad. Mm. There were a few that weren't what I was looking for mm-hmm. in the style that I was looking for, mm-hmm. but they were all really good. And eventually settled on Omi Remolante. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't say settled. Chose Omi Remolante. And mm-hmm. He just got picked up to do Aspen. And he's done a lot of stuff for Dynamite and some of the other smaller publishers. Mm-hmm. But just a phenomenal job.
I've got to ask you, what was it about his art that made you pick him? I mean, was there, did he do something particularly well that made him stand out to you?
For Raphael, it was when I first sent him the first couple character sketches. Mm. And he sends me back, okay, he's like, you sent me the description, here's what I think Kinetic looks like. Mm. And he sent me a picture of Kinetic, and mm. it was Kinetic. I said, that is Kinetic. Mm-hmm. With Omi, the colorist, he just, his colors are just so vibrant, and so they pop off the page. Mm-hmm. So that's what just put him ahead of everyone else. And it should be noted, the cover artist, Jason Metcalf, mm-hmm. him and Ivan Nunes, Jason and I met at, I'm from Seattle, he's also from Seattle, so I see him around a ton of conventions around here. Mm-hmm. And eventually it was, hey, I really like your art. I'm going to buy a print from you. Mm-hmm. Then it was, hey, I think I'm going to hire you for a commission. Mm-hmm. And then it became, hey, do you ever do stuff for small press?
And before you knew it, he was doing covers.
Yep, next thing you know, he's doing covers for me.
Good for you. That's just the way to do it. Now, people don't often understand the importance of lettering, but how did you find your letterer?
Yes, the letterer was through one of the online forums that I had told you about. I can't remember if it was Digital Webbing or another one. Mm-hmm. I had seen his portfolio. With mm-hmm. letters, it was a little easier to narrow down because there was only a couple people who kind of post up very frequently on, you know, mm-hmm. Reddit and those online forums saying, hey, we're a letterer looking for work. Mm-hmm. I spoke with him. I spoke with a couple other letterers, and just the portfolios were all good. Mm-hmm. Just I seem to vibe with this guy better.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I'm like, let's go from there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the nice thing about Kinetic too is that it's been the same creative team for all 8 issues, which I love because you're not looking at issue 1 when you're when you come to my table at a con, you're not browsing through issue one, and then the art changes halfway through.
Yeah, yeah. That happens sometimes, and it's real sad because unless you can find somebody who can really match the team that you have or be at least close to it, yeah. It stands out, and it just kind of is it's a jarring thing to see, unfortunately. But your stuff really worked. It's just solid and just excellent all the way through. So
especially if you're in the middle of a story run, like there's one thing for if it's the end of a story run and then they're picking up a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sometimes just in the middle of a story run, it'll be like, all right, we got a new artist.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, this is different.
Yeah, unfortunately. Oh, it's really kind of sad. So, Bill, as far as like keeping up with the stuff that you're doing, you've got whycomics.net as a website. What about as far as like social media?
Yes, absolutely. I'm very active on Facebook and Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/whycomics.net. And again, it's just the letter Y, comics.net. Mm-hmm. And then you can find me on Twitter. It's at Seattle_whycomics.
Hmm.
And I'm also on Instagram as whycomics.seattle.
Hmm. Okay, so that's good that you got those are the main ones that I know of. Like, I try to keep up with like about 8 of them, but there's some of them I just can't figure out for the life of me. I
am very active on Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I have just started doing Instagram, so mm-hmm. I'm not on it as much.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the layouts. I think the layout's simpler for Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to reach me, that's the best way to go.
Okay. Because the people always tell me now that younger people prefer Instagram.
Mm.
Facebook and Twitter are older people. And I don't buy that. I mean, I don't necessarily mean 60s, 70s, 80s. I mean 30s, 40s, 50s. Tend to be more on Facebook stuff, but you know, I guess it says something. I'm on Facebook.
Yeah, well, and it's partly too because Instagram was the last one that I picked up,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, I'm more familiar with the Twitter platform and the Facebook platform. I'm more familiar with. Whereas Instagram, I'm like, how do I upload this? What button do I press?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, that's pretty good stuff. Well, you're keeping busy, and boy, going to conventions and stuff like that. Is Facebook updated more than say the website? How do you do? What's the place if people want to keep up with, like your updates on cons and stuff like that? Where would they go?
Facebook and Twitter is probably the best.
Mm-hmm.
I always have something, and it's usually the pinned tweet or the pinned deal. It's usually right up at the top. I'll have my conventions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just lucky enough that last weekend I had off, or this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually went camping,
mm-hmm.
and then I have the Portland IndieCon coming up here, and then the next 3 weekends I have off.
Oh wow!
So
it's
going to be some nice R&R, but also some nice getting back to writing because the hardest thing to do on the road is just okay. It's the end of the day. I'm sitting down in the hotel room. I just did finish up with the con,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot easier to say, "Hey, I'm tired. I'm going to sit down," or "Hey, I'm going to watch something," mm-hmm. you know, on YouTube on my phone, than to actually sit down and do it.
Yeah, I understand that because we do that. We run into that all the time. My friend Richard, he gets back to the hotel room and he's just like, "Oh, that's it for the day. I just want my brain to shut off and flatline for a while."
On the flip side of that, some of the best writing time for me is on the plane or on a layover,
because
I got nothing else to do at the airport. So I said, "Okay, let's break out the thing and write."
Wow. Because, you know, it's hard to write at cons because you're talking to fans and you're talking to people who want to buy stuff. So it's difficult to sit down and get your head into a writing mode for any extended period
of time. Yes, if you see me with my head down writing at a convention, it is either a very small con or or like nobody is coming by.
Oh, arg. So we don't want to see that if we can help.
Yeah, no, it's I should be talking with people.
Yeah.
Obviously not every minute of every hour, but you know, I should be talking to people for the most part.
Yeah, because actually at AwesomeCon, my brother bought your books too, my twin brother.
Yep.
He and I grew up together, reading comics and stuff like that. He was a Superman guy and I'm a Batman guy. But both of us bought your books, which tells you something. It appeals to both
of us. No, but I didn't realize that you were related until I think it was you came by. You're like, "Yeah, my twin brother bought them too."
And I was
like, "Oh, you guys are related? No way."
Yeah, he lives in that area, in the Washington, D.C. area. But
oh, that's good. It's always nice to do local shows. The travel expenses add up quick.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Well, you know, Bill, you're doing wonderful stuff, and I can't wait to see more Kinetic. I'm really anxious to see it. Any chance that anybody wants to do any kind of animated kinetic type show or anything like that? Because just a Sings, that kind of a superhero show to me.
I don't want to jinx it. I spoke with a rep from Warner Brothers in Philadelphia.
Ooh.
Of all, and hopefully they didn't take me the wrong way, because it's funny, I was talking. So every time I do L.A., mm-hmm. there's always a bunch of, there's always somebody, and they always come up the same way. You know, I'm a producer, and I'm looking at doing this, you know, kind of that, mm-hmm. that snooty tone. Mm-hmm. It's just like, mm-hmm. I felt bad because this guy came up. I had no idea who he was. You know, he's just mm-hmm. kind of talking. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, this looks great. Have you ever thought about doing it for animation? I was like, yeah, if I ever found a producer who's not a douche. And then literally the next thing, I'm like, I seen he has an exhibitor badge. So I'm like, oh, you know, where are you at? He's like, oh, well, I'm over with Warner Brothers.
Oops.
And I was like, oh, hey, man. But it was funny. We got to talking. And he's like, yeah, have you ever seen this in animation? I don't know if anything will come for it. I'm certainly not against doing... I'm not against doing anything in animation or, you know, animation, TV, any of that. Mm-hmm. Just right now, I'm happy and content selling my books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it happens, it'll happen. But
okay.
But I'm not like actively being.
Yeah.
All right, let's find it.
Well, this is an era, you know. I mean, we have more superhero, more comic related stuff than I think we've ever had. You know, even in the 40s when they had like Batman with an ugly cloth mask on and stuff like that, there was a lot going on then, and it kind of fell out. And then now, of course, Avengers Endgame, they're trying to make that the biggest movie of all time. You've got all kinds of stuff like that, Netflix, you know, and all these other, everybody's got their own little streaming services that are looking for content. I mean, used to be, we had, when I grew up, when I was young, to how old I am, it was, I would sit there and I would watch like four channels, and now I turn on the cable and there's like thousands of them, and some of them you got to pay for, and so I'm like, wow, there's everybody's looking for content. So, you know, hey, it could happen.
Hey, like I said, I am super not against it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just happy with right now. And to let you and your listeners know, mm-hmm. Kinetic just hit 9,000 books sold.
Oh, good. Well, congratulations.
Hey, it's not Batman numbers.
No,
but for me going around the country basically being like, hey guys, buy my book please. You know, buy my book, guys. You know, just basically holding it out, doing that. Well, it's one step above that, but you know.
Yeah, but you know what? So you get to do that now with indie comics and stuff going on, what they are. You get to tell your story, which is something, well, I don't know. The Turtles might have been the first that kind of started this whole thing. But the fact that you get to do that now is great, that people like my brother and I get to come by your booth and be impressed by what we see and then want to read it. And so, you know, we get to buy it and get to make more as a result of that, you know? DC Marvel Image, if you weren't in there, you were right out. But, yeah, I think it is a great time for comics and people like you to be able to get to make comics.
Yeah, no, it's a great time to do it, and I'm just very blessed that I'm able to do it. Mm-hmm. That I have a great team that's supporting me.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, 2019 blew past everything 2018 did. 2018 blew past everything 2017 did, which was the building year. I'm already financially, this year is already where I was for all of last year.
Cool.
It's just, it's crazy just watching it grow, because it all started because I thought Kinetic was a cool name for a hero, and then mm-hmm. next thing you know, I had a book, then I had a series,
mm-hmm.
and now it's like, hey, I actually have sales, and there's people who are coming back actually looking for Kinetic and want more Kinetic.
Good. Well, that's how you start. You know, these days you have all kinds of possibilities open in front of you, and I hope you get a lot of them realized, because I enjoyed the book tremendously. I enjoyed the writing. I thought the artwork was great. I think that the pacing and everything went really well. I love the characters. Like I said, I could see this in growing in many other ways. So, you know, I think, Bill, you're doing wonderful stuff, and I just hope you get to do a lot more, and I hope I bump into you at some of these conventions coming up, because I'll have to, whatever, you've got anything new, I'll pick it up from you.
Yeah, I hope I do too, man. I've just been cruising around, and yeah, it was a pleasure to meet you at AwesomeCon, and mm-hmm. just it was great to see DC, man.
Yeah,
it was. I've done more traveling this last year than I have all of my life.
Wow. And well, that's good for you.
It's just a blast going places and meeting so many new cool people, and.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, you know, I wish you much more success, and Kinetic continues to grow and grow and just becomes one of those great superhero books that you might not get to call it indie anymore at some point. That would be great.
Yep.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to be back next week when I'll have another great interview. But until then, keep reading your comics.